Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Continue on the theme that we began last week when Gray brought the message about prayer, and he made a declaration over this house that this would be known as a house of prayer. And we know that for 2020, it's going to be prayer that precedes breakthrough. It's going to be prayer that precedes the miraculous. It's going to be prayer that sets us up for what God has called each and every one of us to do. And I think we know, we can feel in the spirit that there is something that God has called each and every one of us to do. I believe that this is a year that we're actually not going to sit still, that there's not going to be a year where we just let life happen to us, but we're getting intentional from here. And do you know that with our intention, this begins with prayer. And it begins with prayer because we need the Holy Spirit to guide us. As we get intentional, the truth is for many of us, I don't know if I'm preaching to the converted, but I find this, when I get intentional, sometimes I get rogue. Sometimes I get really intentional and set my feet on a path, and sometimes it's not always the path that God has planned for me. But because I'm intentional, I run at it hard. I know that 2020 is going to be a year where we're not just intentional, we're not just influential, that not God's not just going to work through us, but he's going to breathe on us through the Holy Spirit as we, in communication, in relationship, are being guided by the Holy Spirit in what it is we're supposed to do. Are you ready for it, church? Are you ready for it? I'm so... I love it. Do you know, Graham unpacked last week about prayer, and he spoke about the power when we pray, that there are different types in which we can pray. If you were here Sunday night, you're in for a special treat, where Braden unpacked probably the funniest prayer meeting story I have ever heard. Wow. Each and every one of us will have such a different definitions on what prayer looks like, what it looks like for our individual lives that we do privately, and what it looks like corporately. And the truth is for many of us, it's got a preconceived idea because of our experiences. I'm so glad for Braden that he's had many more experiences outside of what he experienced once upon a time. But do you know that we can actually have this reframed in our minds, in our spirits, what prayer is and how effective it is for our lives? The truth is prayer is a weapon for each and every one of us. The Word of God is true. It is living and it is breathing. But the truth is without the Holy Spirit is just knowledge. And so prayer is the game changer, because in any relationship, the health of it comes through its communication. And the truth is every single one of us can be continually getting better in communication in our relationships. It doesn't matter what the design of the relationship is, whether it's a husband and wife, a brother and a sister, friends. It doesn't matter the relationship. It is better when we get better at communication in the relationship. And that is what prayer is for us with God. As we get better in our relationship with God, we can see that the change in prayer is changing in our lives. We mature in it. We learn more about it. We learn the different facets of it. And that's exactly the journey we're going to take at City Point North over the next little while, because we want in 2020 where you have effective prayer lives. Effective prayer lives. I just love this. As I've been preparing this word, which I'm going to unpack over two messages this week and 2 weeks from now. As I've been preparing this, an incredible tool has been given to us as the body of Christ. And these often come out. I don't know if there are readers in the house, but I love to read. I love to get new resource. I love to feed my spirit with new teaching, because often it's reshaping things that I may have done by default for years and years and years. But the Holy Spirit wants to go, I'm going to speak to that. And here's a tool in which to do that. And so early this week, a book was actually released by Craig Rochelle called Dangerous Prayers. Dangerous Prayer. And can I encourage you? It's really, really good. I read it in just over 24 hours. It was so good, I couldn't put it down. And I'm going to encourage you to go and look at this resource, because there is a way in which we can pray that is effective. When the Word of God says effective, fervent prayers, that's what it's talking about. And I'm going to unpack this morning, because for many of us, whether we realize it or not, we have moved from effective, fervent prayer when we had our first love with Jesus to safe prayer. To safe prayer. To comfortable prayer. Comfort zone prayer. And so this morning I want to actually unpack a couple of unsafe prayers, dangerous prayers that each and every one of us can actually pray. And not just can actually pray, should actually pray if we're wanting to be effective in our influence in our world. The truth is this will reshape our lives, so it reshapes others' lives. Are you ready for this morning? Brad, thank you for being ready. Thank you for being ready. Are you ready, church? Do you want effective, fervent prayers? I don't know about you, but in 2020, I know I need effective, fervent prayers. This message this morning is for anyone who feels stuck in a prayer rut, praying repetitive, faithless prayers, predictable, safe prayers. Maybe you can relate. It's not that you don't believe in prayer, you do, but you're stuck in a rut. You pray about the same struggles and the same prayer requests in the same way, and perhaps even at the same time. Even if you even pray at all. You probably know that you should pray more with passion, with more faith. You want to talk to God and listen to Him, to share an intimate conversation like you would with your spouse or best friend. You really want to, but aren't sure how. So your prayers remain safe. Other definitions for safe are flat, dull, predictable, stale, or boring. We serve a God who can do more than we can ask and imagine. So it's time to stop praying it safe, which is the title of my message this morning. Don't pray it safe. We weren't created for a life of comfort. We were created to be powerful and passionate, charged with changing the world in radical ways. I believe this morning that this message will encourage you to break through the boundaries in your prayer life and will inspire you to pray powerfully and live boldly because of your prayer life. Are you ready for more, church? Are you sick of playing it safe? Are you ready to pray daring, faith-filled, God-honoring, life-changing, world-transforming prayers? Come on. It's time to stop praying it safe. It's time to start talking, really talking and listening, really listening to God. So I have three short points this morning on prayers that are not safe. Are you ready for the note takers? Point number one, an unsafe prayer that will really shake your life up: your will be done. Instead of long, loud, and fancy, the prayers that move God are simple, authentic, and heartfelt. But simple does not mean safe. The biggest mistake made in believers' prayer lives, the reason why prayers are often so ineffective, is because we pray too safely. We love our comfort zone with God. Not on fire, and yet not cold. Prayers that are tempered. The Bible puts it this way: lukewarm prayers that don't draw us closer to God and help us reveal His love for this world. Jesus, not just any regular disciple or a person in the Bible, but Jesus, the Son of God, prayed vulnerable and dangerous prayers. And one of the prayers that He prayed was a prayer of submission. And it went like this in Luke 22:42. Yet I want Your will to be done, Father, not mine. Jesus never asks us to do something that He wouldn't do Himself. He calls us to a life of faith, not a life of comfort. Instead of coming to Him for a safer, easier, stress-free lifestyle, the Son of God challenges us to risk loving others more than loving ourselves. Instead of indulging our daily desires, He calls us to deny them for something eternal. Instead of living by what we want, He tells us to pick up our crosses daily and follow His examples. I kind of worry that in today's society, many of us pray like we're buying a lottery ticket for a chance of a life here on earth that is problem-free, stress-free, pain-free, cost-free. For others, prayer is merely a sentimental routine, like reciting a favorite song or a nursery rhyme from our childhood. Yet, others pray only because they feel guilty if they don't. But none of these prayers reflect the life Jesus came to give you and I. Instead, he calls us to leave everything to follow him. Jesus didn't just challenge others to leave their own wills behind. He too lived like this. He too lived dangerous faith. He touched lepers. He showed grace to prostitutes. He stood bravely before the cross for you and I. He told us that we could do what he did and more. And that's why we can't settle for simply saying grace and asking God to bless our days. We're told in the Bible that we can, in Hebrews 4, verse 16, come boldly to the throne room of our gracious God. We don't need to approach timidly or feel awkward. We can come before him with confidence, with assurance and boldness when we pray this way. It says further in Hebrews 4, we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Your prayers matter. How you pray matters. What you pray matters. Your prayers move God. They catch his ear and he is compelled to hear and move on your behalf. And so that is why we pray, your will be done. Which brings me to the second type of prayer that seems unsafe. The truth is for many of us, this is one of the most vulnerable prayers we can pray. But do you dare to pray in a way that you've never prayed before? With all of your heart and your soul and your mind and the full extent of your being, what would happen if your life and the lives of others around you, if you started praying dangerous, vulnerable prayers? King Saul falsely accused David of treason and sent his full forces after David in repeated attempts to take his life. With all his heart, David wanted to please God. He fought against anger in order to protect and show honor to the king. Yet knowing that his motives weren't always perfect, David surrendered his heart before God and prayed one of the most vulnerable, dangerous prayers. Transparent prayers that you'll ever hear. Wanting to honor God in every aspect of his being, David prayed this in Psalms 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way that is everlasting. What a prayer. Search me, O God. Not only is this prayer difficult to pray, but it's even more challenging to apply and live out. Because if you have the courage to pray it, then you also need to exercise the courage to live out what God shows you in reply. So don't pray it if you don't mean it. This is a prayer that God will touch your world. And he will speak to you about some of the hidden dark things in your world that maybe you were aware of but have been nicely kept hidden. Or maybe you weren't aware of and he'll highlight them to you. Be forewarned, this prayer has the potential to convict you, to correct you, to redirect your life, to change the way you see yourself, to change the way others see you. Maybe you're still thinking that this is no big deal, and maybe you're wondering why you should ask God to search your heart when he already knows all that's inside you. He knows what's going on in your mind. He knows what's in there. So why ask something so obvious? This is where it gets tricky. On the surface, it seems like we know our own hearts. I know my own motives. I know what's most important. I know what I should do. Besides, you might also tell yourself, now this is one I'm guilty of, but I've got a good heart. Our intentions. We often use our intentions as excuses for behaviors. Did you know that? And it is because we aren't willing to ask God the motives of our heart. We do it based on our immature understandings of our own heart. I'm not trying to hurt people. I wasn't trying. I was trying to do what is right. Do you not know my intentions are often the things we will think or say in these moments? My heart is good. I'm praying, aren't I? Have you thought those things? I'm putting my hand up this morning. I have said these things even out loud to people in conversations. But you know my heart, right? But God's word actually reveals the exact opposite. Might be a shock when you hear it for the first time, but Jeremiah tells us a straight up truth. For those of you who don't know Jeremiah, Jeremiah was the son of a Levitical priest born around 650 BC. And during the reign of King Josiah, God raised up this young prophet to take God's word to Israel and to all the nations. Jeremiah flat out says to you and I that you don't have a good heart. But in fact, not only is your heart not good, but your heart is wicked and sinful in all its ways. The prophet said it like this in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, if you're not believing me right now. All right, it's in the Word of God. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? I think only God. Because only He understands truly the state of our hearts. Without Christ, our heart is deceitful. The closer we get to Jesus, the more we have to face our shortcomings, our pride, our selfishness, our lusts, our addictions, our critical spirits. Praying this kind of prayer can open a channel of communication to God. Instead of simply asking God to do something for you, ask Him to reveal something in you. The moment of truth with God may not change you instantly, and this is a really important thing to remember when you pray this prayer, "Search me, O God." You may not see change instantly when you pray this prayer. And that's for a purpose. It's because God often doesn't want to release us from our circumstances. God wants to do something in us through our circumstances. He is our healer and our provider, but He is also our source in every circumstance. And so, if you're walking circumstances today that you don't understand and they're out of your control, can I ask you, would you have the boldness to ask God, what is it that you want to do in me through these circumstances? Even if the circumstances are totally out of your control, God has still got purpose around them for your life. Do you know what? It's also not just for your life. I know that He allows us to go through things and does things in our lives because there are others on the planet who are walking the story you are walking right now. But the truth is you're walking it with the Holy Spirit. And so there is an opportunity for you to step into victory in your story and have miraculous around your story because of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And that is the key to somebody else's freedom. Because we're not here on the planet just for us. We are here for others. We are here for others. That's why David's prayer was so crazy, so unsafe. Search my heart, O Lord. Would we be brave enough to ask that? And my third and final point this morning, or my third and final dangerous prayer, I'm going to unpack three more in 3 weeks, but I think that three are enough to exercise out over the next 2 weeks. To absorb and take on for our lives. The final one gets a little deeper. Because when we ask God to search our heart, there are going to be things that He puts His finger on that He wants to do in our life. And I love this from David's story. If you want to know how to pray, get into the Psalms. David prays so incredibly, and he's a really emotional dude. So the truth is it doesn't matter if you're really quiet or you're really loud, this guy does a roller coaster of emotions, and he shows us how to pray with health. What I really love about David's life is he does say, God, rescue me from my enemies, but not my circumstances. But continually all throughout those circumstances, he keeps saying, God, would you search my heart? Would you do something in my life? And so that is the reason why at the end of it all, he is declared a man after God's own heart. So effective in his time. Wow. That's because he continued to ask God, look in, what do I need to do in my life? Not would you just rescue me out of these circumstances? Would you use them to do something in my life? Which brings me to number three, a brave prayer, a courageous prayer, a dangerous prayer for our lives. God, would you reveal my fears? What is it that makes you anxious or nervous, unsettled, afraid? And I'm not talking about normal external fears like snakes, or spiders, or fear of flying, all of the above. I'm wondering what keeps you up at night. Those things that ricochet in your mind and refuse to be quieted. Things like losing your job, getting married, not getting married, being stuck in a bad marriage, having your health fail, draining your savings account just to get by. What is it that keeps you up all night? We don't know the exact fears that were running through David's mind, but it's clear he was troubled about his safety and perhaps even his future. Because after God, asking God to search his heart, David prays this in Psalms 139, verse 23. Know my anxious thoughts. Know my anxious thoughts. He wanted to share his worst fears with God, to face them and to give them a name, to trust that God was bigger than any fear David could dream up. He had to voice, know my fears. Do you know for many of us, not many of us, do you know that for the world that this is the greatest health epidemic today is fear? It's got lots of names. It's got anxiety. It's got depression. There are so many names. Do you know that more medication is spent on fear than on any other medication in the world? And here's the thing, it's not a bad thing. I believe that God has gifted incredible people to come up with ways in which we actually help our mind. But I have to share this testimony because before I unpack a little bit about my story in the journey of fear, I have to unpack where this began. When I was 17 years old, I was in a life group like most 17-year-olds who attend church, and we were doing a study. It was 40 Days with God by Rebecca St. James, and it was an intentional moment in which we took 40 days to pray and fast, which was the first time I'd ever fasted. And the whole purpose of this intentional time and devotion was to teach us at around 16, 17, how to pray in the Spirit continually. And I didn't realize this until later in life, a lot later in life, what this set up for my life. So for many of my friends who know me well, they know a couple of things. I don't actually really struggle with fear. I've never really struggled with fear. But that's not the case for my childhood. When I was a child, I would often lay up for hours and hours before I fell to sleep. Or if I would wake up through the night, it would be for fear that I could not go back to sleep. And they were normal childhood fears. The random wolf man underneath your bed. You know, childhood fears, things I'd made up, whether it be from movies I saw or whatever. They were childhood fears. But what I've noticed through my adult years, my life has been fear-free. And the other things that I thought were unusual about my life, that people, when they met me, because I'm really creative, I didn't put together until a moment in my adult years on why this is the case. I don't see. So often if I paint a picture, if I say right now a banana, many of you are seeing a banana. I don't see a banana. I don't see the word. It's like blank. It's not an intellectual thing. It's just blank, okay? But I've noticed that I don't see in my mind 24/7, and I don't fear. The other thing that I don't do is dream. I don't dream regularly. It's very, very rare that I dream, and often when I dream, it's significantly a God dream. And so because of these things, I thought, to be honest, I was a little bit unusual. And I thought it's really unusual that I can be creative without some of these things. But I realized that at 17, I set up something that I actually believe is a gift for every single one of us. that is a way that we actually can live our lives without thoughts ricocheting in our mind 24/7. I was taught at 17 and took a 40-day challenge to pray in the Spirit continually. And our life group leader didn't actually just stop it at out loud, because the truth is I was from Townsville and there was a lot of weird people in Townsville and I didn't want to be one of them. And so I was not going to walk to school looking like I'm talking to myself. And so I decided, and my life group leader commissioned us to pray in our minds continually. And we took a 40-day challenge, which I didn't actually realize what it would do for my future, but it filled my mind 24/7 with the Holy Spirit. And so I actually realize that all these years have been spent absent of a fear going around in my mind, absent of worry. This is actually possible. You might be sitting here this morning. I actually just feel this right now. You might be sitting here this morning going, I actually think that that's impossible. I'm telling you now, I'm living proof that I have feared as a child, but I have not feared as an adult, because the Holy Spirit and I are in communication in my mind 24/7. Because the Holy Spirit and fear cannot occupy the same space, I have filled a space with the Holy Spirit. It is possible to do so. And I can tell you now that if you struggle in your mind, if you struggle with fear, if you struggle with anxiety, the Holy Spirit wants to fill that space. He wants to fill that space. He wants to fill that space. This morning is a moment to actually start something new. But here's the crazy thing. It wasn't something I was set free of. It was something I had to make a decision to do daily. To do daily. And that was to pray in the Spirit. Now, here's the thing. Life is not easy, and we were not promised to do it without trial. And so in 2017, I actually began a journey that I saw the power of having the Holy Spirit, of being in communication with the Holy Spirit and having Him occupy this space, and what it looks like when He doesn't. I walked a journey that I never imagined I would, but because of it, I can stand here today and say that it is possible to literally have the Holy Spirit consume a space that right now is occupied by fear or anxiety or worry. In June of 2017, I started to have some physical challenges. And I thought it was just at the time, at the beginning, stress and fatigue. But when my cheeks and my gums and my tongue and my esophagus were filled with hundreds and hundreds of ulcers that at times would make those areas of my mouth swell to the point where I couldn't talk properly, and I sounded like I even had a lisp for a time. I do have a small lisp. That's why you're listening to accentuated S's all the time. But I couldn't speak properly because my tongue was so swollen with hundreds of ulcers that were pushing from the inside out. I took this journey where I noticed my symptoms would worsen and my trust in God started to weaken. At this time, I was doing what many of us would do in this moment with unusual circumstances. I went from doctor to doctor to dentist to find out what the cause was. And because nobody had great answers, I knew it was something worse. And I allowed this moment to weaken my faith, to disconnect my connection that was happening constantly. Never before had I walked circumstances that had the ability to disconnect this open communication I had in my mind. And I allowed my mind to sit, ponder, wonder, and worry about this. Now, here's the funniest thing. When I finally got a diagnosis, it didn't make the situation better in my mind. It worsened it. Because now I actually had the reality of what I have in my world, in my knowledge. And so it worsened my worry. Now I was dealing with, because I wasn't in open communication, allowing this space to be occupied with the Holy Spirit. Now I was dealing with things like, am I going to have cancer in the next couple of months? Will I actually lose my hair And you think that that might be a small thing. It's a big deal to me. And so in my worry, I found myself searching wig companies. I know you think it's really funny, but if you're facing looking at this in your world, I was trying to find the very best one so you'd never know. And I was consumed by it, which then led me down other paths where I realized that my vanity was more important. Can you see how I've literally allowed it to control my life? And when I had stopped listening to the Holy Spirit, not just listening, being in constant communication in my mind, praying in the Spirit continually, when I stopped that channel, the space filled really quickly with something else. The truth is my thoughts went all the way through to, what if I'm not actually here to raise my kids? What if I don't have the honor to walk out the call of God on my life to lead a church? And what would that mean for my husband's dreams to lead a church? I went this way and I went this way for a while, and I carried it like a burden. I carried it like a heavy sack of potatoes everywhere I went, because the truth is when we try to take control of the things and circumstances in our lives, we carry it like a burden we were never supposed to carry. And so I want to tell you today that there was a moment. There was not a moment of the miraculous of healing in my world. But there was a moment where the Holy Spirit spoke to me and went, when did you stop praying in the Spirit? And that was the game changer.
Yeah, great.
Today, I am still living this journey. But do you know, I don't feel like I am. And often when friends or family who speak to me and ask me how it's going, I am reminded of the journey I'm walking, because my mind is full of what the Spirit is saying to me and where I'm supposed to be walking and what I'm supposed to be doing. Do you know it's possible for your life? You can walk the journey before you, because the Holy Spirit desires to be in communication continually with you, guiding you, speaking to you. Do you know I have not felt worry? I have not felt unrest. I have not feared the future. And that's because the Holy Spirit and I are in constant communication. And you know that one of the greatest things He brings is peace around your life. And so the truth is I live in peace. I live in peace. You can walk through your circumstances with the Holy Spirit. You can walk through. Stop asking to be rescued from. I'm telling you now, what God has done in my world by walking through this with Him has grown a strength and a tenacity in me that I never, ever would have had I not been reminded. When did you stop praying in the Spirit in your mind? Why did you stop? Why did you take on that burden? When did you stop trusting me? And that's the truth of it. When we pray, reveal my fears, God, we're actually praying, God, where don't I trust you? Where don't I trust you? In what areas of my life do I try to lead? Do I try to take control? Where don't I trust you? As God reveals your fears, He will build in you faith. You need Him. You need His presence. You need His power. You need His Spirit guiding you. You need His word strengthening. What fears the most show you where in your life, show you where you need to hand these things over back into His trust, into His hands. So what do you fear? I'm going to ask this legitimately, because for many of us, we actually try to push the fear. Because it's negative, we try to push it away and hide it somewhere. But praying for God to reveal them and giving it a name allows you to actually hand this into His trust. What do you fear? What are your anxious thoughts? What is God showing you? Where do you need to grow in faith as you hand it over to trust Him? Trust Him. This morning I'm going to ask us to do something really specific. Because I'm sure that in this word, there has been elements of it that has touched everybody here this morning. We are human. We're flawed. Flawsome is how I like to say it. Flawsome. Awesome, but flawed. But we are. We're flawed. We have brokenness. We walk circumstances that are beyond our control. Do you know that that is a great thing? Otherwise, we'd be able to trust ourselves. But the truth is we have the opportunity to trust in God, who carries us through all things. All things. I'm going to ask everybody to be on your feet this morning, because I'm going to create a moment this morning where I would love you to action this. If you are sick of playing it safe in your prayer life, I'm going to ask you, would you right now close your eyes? I'm going to just ask for a couple of moments where you can ask the Holy Spirit these things. Your will be done in my life. Would you be brave enough to ask that? Your will be done in my life. Search me, O God, and know my anxious thoughts. Would you reveal my fears this morning so that I can actually place them in your hands, so that you can take control, so that you can take the wheel? The band's going to play behind me, but I'm going to ask, would you just take a moment to pray those things right now in your spirit, in your head, in your heart? Your will be done, God, in my life. Search me, God. Reveal my fears. If you don't know what to pray this morning, that's okay. I've spoken this morning about one of the greatest tools that we have, and that is prayer in the Spirit. Prayer in the Spirit. Gray began this last week, but do you know this is one of the most powerful tools you have in your life? I'm going to ask you to do something right now. I'm going to ask, if you actually are baptized in the Holy Spirit, would you begin to just pray? You can pray in your mind, or you can pray out loud. For some of us, there are seasons, or we're walking through seasons, that we need to pray it out loud. It doesn't matter how weird, it's not weird in the house of God. And the reason is our own ears need to hear it, so our spirit believes it. If right now you have that gift, would you just begin to pray it? Would you begin to pray it as your spirit reaches out saying, search me, God, know my anxious thoughts. Your will be done in my life and in my circumstances. Right now, let's just pray. To the anxious mind this morning, this is how you get set free. This is how you get set free. This is how you get set free. If you are struggling in your mind with thoughts racing around and they're keeping you up at night, start to pray in the Spirit. Start to fill that space right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to ask everybody to do something, and this is a little bit unusual to do in church. But I want to show you something. And I really felt that the Holy Spirit said to do this morning, because for some people, you need to see this revealed in your life. I'm going to ask everybody right now just to think while your eyes are shut. I want you to think on something right now that has you awake at night. It's going to be different for everybody. For some, it's going to be about your marriage. For some, it's going to be financial, maybe in your business. For some, it's going to be relational. There are going to be some, for some, it's health, for yourself or somebody else. For others, it might be a child who's away from God and you're seeing a wake of destruction around their choices. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm going to just ask you to think on it, because remember, a prayer that we pray is for God to reveal our fears, our anxious thoughts, not push them to one side, to reveal them, to put them before our minds. And I really felt this morning that God wanted us to exercise how to remove that from your mind this morning, because it's an action we each do. So now I know that right now each person has thought of something. I'm going to ask you to start praying in the Spirit in your mind. Start praying in the Spirit. That's it. Start praying in the Spirit. Start praying in tongues, in the Spirit, in your mind. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Every time that thought pushes its way back, because you will have noticed it was fading and there was peace around it. Maybe you even forgot about it altogether as you focused on praying in the Spirit. Every time it comes in, I want you to actually get more fervent with your prayer in the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. Keep praying in the Spirit. Do you know that fear and the Holy Spirit cannot have dominion in the same place? That if you want victory over your mind, the Spirit is fighting on your behalf. He is fighting on your behalf. And so for every anxious thought, pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. You see the power of prayer? The Holy Spirit and fear will not live in the same place. You can know what an absence of fear from your life feels like. You can experience it. It's not a great notion. It's not a great ideal. It's actually a reality. And this morning, the Holy Spirit wants you to know it's for you. This word is for you. This word is for you. This word is for you. The person saying this morning, it's not for me, it's for you. This word is for you. You can know a sound mind. You can know a sound mind. You can know a sound mind. And a sound mind may not be a moment, an instant of release. It might actually be an action you choose to do, to pray continually in the Spirit, because He will fill that space. Right now, before we move on, I want to ask this, because there may be people who are standing right here today, and as I've encouraged people to pray in the Spirit, you're like, I don't even know what that is, or I have prayed before and I can't actually do this. I would love to offer this morning, if you would love to be able to pray in the Spirit, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to be in communication with Him directly. It's a weapon. It's a weapon in the spiritual realm. It's such a great weapon. It's a weapon that the enemy cannot understand. He cannot decipher it. He cannot understand it to send forces against you. It is such a powerful weapon. And I would love to offer this morning, if you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit or cannot speak in tongues or do not have communication with the Holy Spirit like this, if you would like it today, I'm going to ask you, would you make your way to the front? I know it's really a bold move, but if you want baptism of the Holy Spirit, the team is going to be right here and they're going to pray and believe that today there is open communication between heaven and your world. And I promise you right now, it is absolutely what I have said this morning. It is an absence of fear in your life. If that is you, anytime from now to the very end of the service, I'm going to ask you to come up the front and just say, that's me. That's me. That's me. I don't want to move on from this service without asking, without offering an opportunity for you to have an incredible relationship with the Holy Spirit. Come on, we've had somebody brave come forward. If this is something you want for your life, come on, right now it's time to respond. It's time to say, I am choosing a life with the Holy Spirit. I am choosing to do this fear-free. Come on right now. Yeah, this is worth celebrating. This is worth celebrating. Come on, right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Team, if I can ask you to come and pray, that would be incredible. Before we move on from the service, we've gone a little bit over in time, and you are free to go when I have finished this moment, but the team's going to worship behind us while we actually create this ministry moment. I'd love to ask one more question. If you came out here today and you're not in relationship with Jesus Christ, you've heard me preach this message and you can hear that there is a life that is free of fear. Not free of circumstances, but free of fear. And you go, I need that and want that for my life. Do you know that that's a life lived with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And it is possible for you. There are people here today saying, I can't choose that because I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it. You don't know what I've done in my life. You don't know what I've said. You don't know what I've done to others. Jesus wants to say to you today specifically, I came for you. I came for you. I came for you. I see you and I love you and I want to transform your life. I'm telling you from now in on that you can actually live with freedom, you can live with purpose, and you can know God's love. And if that is you this morning and you've never made this decision, or maybe you have 100 times, but you're saying this morning, I actually need relationship with Jesus like that, I'm just going to ask you to slip your hand up while nobody's looking around. I'll see your hand. I will see your hand. If there's anybody here today who says, that's me, I actually need to live my life with Jesus as my Lord and Savior, would you slip your hand up and I will pray for you right now as I look across one more time. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. It's an incredible decision you made. Just as I look across one more time, this is the game changer day for you. Jesus sees you. He loves you. He wants to be in relationship with you. You can choose him today. Is there anybody else? Awesome. Awesome. We're going to pray right now. All the believers in the house, would you just begin to pray? I know that ministry is happening down the front and it's noisy, but a couple of people here have chosen the greatest decision they will ever make in their whole life. So we're going to stand and believe them. Would you take this prayer as your prayer this morning? Father, right now, I choose you as my Lord and Savior. I thank you that you made a way for me to live in freedom and in victory. And I pray right now that you would reveal your love to me like I've never known it before. I leave my old life behind me and I step into a new future with you. I thank you, God, that you have saved me, you have redeemed me, you have set me free. And today I choose to live a life with you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Come on right now, let's give praise to our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I could ask some team to just come around those people who have put their hands up and made that decision, we would love to walk forward with you. This is not a journey you do alone. You've got to do it with somebody else because it's an incredible journey, better done better together.